Chapter 6. An Eye for an Eye. She hid as best she could, sinking low in her seat near the back of the bus. She kept her hood up and her glasses on, fearing that Maurice might climb aboard and unmask her at any moment. Her bus had been diverted 4 times so far, each time circumventing a different D4 attack site from the night before. The soldiers guarding the sites all wore flak jackets with horizontal yellow stripes across them. As her bus rounded the corner of the last site, she glimpsed Adrian's team loading body bags into a van. Across the city, the government's electrical billboards shone brilliantly, warning of a new ban on gatherings of more than 5 people. Beneath the infographic, the newsfeed scrolled by. Restoration work at Calvert Cliffs nuclear power plant halted as troops recalled. President issues tough warning to protesters following blockade of military supplies overnight. As they got closer to the hospital, the residential attack sites gave way to inner-city protests. Outside the law courts, hundreds of protesters had gathered, demanding political transparency. Their white armbands shone brightly amidst the ragtag assortment of scavenged clothes and uniforms the striking civilians wore. Amidst the protesters sat a subgroup with duct tape over their mouths. Each held a handmade sign reading, "Where are they?" She slipped into the hospital and hurried to Level 3, where she donned her protective clothing. Entering her new lab, she prepared to confront the outcome of yesterday's mission. Her hopes of stopping Harvey hung on the next few moments. She stepped into the cell and took a long, deep breath as she stared at the pitiful creature before her. The disease had taken hold rapidly overnight on account of the strength of the dose they'd infected it with. Clumps of powder matted the possum's purple and white fur together. It tried to bristle, but it was weak. Its raised hairs wilted like dying grass. She thought the sight of fresh powder would bring relief, but instead felt nauseous. Lucy zipped up her yellow-striped flak jacket as she approached. If someone in the lab caught her in close proximity to a creature without the protection of the blood jackets, there would be all kinds of questions asked. It was a level of suspicion she couldn't risk for a minute. She silenced her anxious speculations as to whose blood she was wearing and forced herself to focus on the task at hand. She picked up the scalpel. The creature moaned, feebly agitating against its restraints. Lucy winced as she recalled the turtle she'd butchered. Delicately, she placed the scalpel in between a mass of the possum's hair and scraped the powder out onto the operating table. She worked methodically, gently teasing the white substance out from its fur until a perimeter of powder surrounded the outstretched creature. As delicately as she could, Lucy slid 3 fingers under the creature's belly and raised it off the table to inspect its undercarriage. There were no great clumps of powder to be found, but the hairs themselves had turned white. She ditched the scalpel and investigated with her other hand, prizing a cluster of hairs apart for a closer look. The skin looked white, too. She grasped a bunch of hairs and pulled, expecting them to come out like cocktail sticks from a jar. Instead, a clump of fur and skin several inches across tore away from the creature's belly like a strip of turf. The creature quivered in agony. Lucy stared in amazement at the powder-filled sample and at the bare flesh she'd exposed on the possum's belly itself. She deposited the cluster in a tub and stepped back from the possum, wiping her brow. The creature fixed her with a wide-eyed stare as it strained harder. It bore no resemblance to a human. It was a possum. A diseased, extraterrestrial possum, she told herself. But it trembled and resisted and moaned, just as Lopez had done when Harvey had tortured him. A pang of guilt clawed at her, and she threw the scalpel to the ground with a clatter. Lucy paced the cell, distraught. Tearing flesh from a conscious, living creature was anathema to the person she'd once been. The possum made a choking sound and vomited up a ball of sticky white and pink flesh. Lucy winced and scooped the substance into a separate tub. As she placed it down on the counter, the lump of flesh began to wriggle. A paw appeared from the middle, followed by a foot and a tail. A tiny, juvenile possum clawed its way out of the flesh coating, which crackled down the middle like a meatball hatching. The infant flopped against the side of the tub, exhausted. Its eyes were sealed shut, and powder coated its skin, where fur grew in sparse patches. It squeaked pathetically to its parent. The possum on the table moaned back, straining against its shackles. Lucy looked at both creatures in disgust. She recited the mantra she'd told herself so many times before. Their kind had destroyed her world. They'd taken her partner, her best friend, and the life she'd loved. No more. She stepped up to the table and seized a clutch of fur on the possum's underbelly. With a grim determination, she peeled it away, exposing the creature's raw flesh beneath. She continued, becoming faster and rougher until within minutes the creature had been skinned completely. It lay quivering on the operating table as Lucy dropped the last chunk of diseased, powdery flesh into the bucket behind. "Impressive," said Harvey, startling her. Lucy jolted upright, still panting from her frenzy. "How long have you been there?"
"Long enough to observe your commitment to your work," said Harvey. "I see you've had a strong yield already. I must say you've exceeded my expectations yet again, Lucy. I will confess, I dropped in at first light to observe our little friend here, and was quite taken by the transformation. So much so, I put in a request for additional subjects to be procured immediately. Ah, here they come now."
The door clicked open, and a pair of technicians each wheeled in a crate. They deposited them in the empty cells adjacent to Lucy's. She peered out through the glass at Harvey. Discomfort crept over her as he beamed back. She swiftly exited the cell and joined him at the front, then watched as the technicians secured the new captives.
"I decided we should augment our inquiries," said Harvey with a twinkle.
The technicians rigged the first newcomer up to an intravenous blood drip.
"Goodness, don't tell me you're becoming squeamish now, after what you just did," chuckled Harvey, reading Lucy's bitter expression. "I'm intrigued to see at what pace the creatures deteriorate when they're infected solely with blood, rather than the powder solution you devised for our beloved possum over there."
Lucy looked on grimly at the two new captives. The creatures were both a little larger than the possum she'd captured. One resembled a house cat, but with a stretched torso like a sausage dog's. The intravenous drip extended out from its midriff. The other creature resembled a bird-eating spider, though it had more legs. Was it 10 or 14? Lucy couldn't quite tell, as the technician kept obscuring the view. For this one, they didn't attempt an IV drip. Instead, they partially filled a glass box with blood and deposited the spider inside it. "I need access to your gen water reserves. I know you've been collecting samples. I want to maximize the amount of powder we grow on these creatures before they die, which means keeping them fed."
"Yet again, Lucy, I find our minds are aligned. However, might I remark, there is a degree of inefficiency in your model, which we can ill afford in our present state of crisis."
"What do you mean?"
"Collecting and delivering gen water to feed living creatures would be nightmarishly labor-intensive, especially as we scale up. Today, we have 3 creatures in our care. Next week, that number could be 30. Happily, I think I've devised a rather elegant solution. Give me a moment,"
said Harvey with a rosy smile. He strode excitedly from the laboratory. Lucy took the opportunity to retrieve her tubs of white powder from the skinned possum's cell. She peered into the beaker holding its fleshy offspring. The infant had ceased squeaking, or moving at all for that matter. It lay perfectly still in a bed of powder and birthing fluids. Lucy glanced around. The other technicians were distracted. The cat creature had broken free of its tethers in the adjoining cell, and it was their unhappy task to resecure it. Lucy quickly filled a tiny flask with powder and stowed it in her pocket. Resuming her primary task, she grabbed the main samples, sealed the tubs, and exited the cell before anyone questioned her. The lab door swung open, and Harvey returned with raised eyebrows. He gave Lucy a wink as he held the door open. She stepped back, reading his cue to clear the way. A barrage of insults emanated from the single voice in the corridor. 2 guards dragged a lively woman into the lab and waited for Harvey's instructions.
"Your piece is a shit, you know that? Wake up, people. The government is brainwashing you. Our civil liberties are vanishing by the day. You've got to take a..."
The woman broke off her tirade as she saw the room around her. Lucy recognized the expression of someone who'd been taken to a hospital
and ended up in a ward that was not exclusively human. The woman wore jeans, a puffer jacket, and a white armband fashioned from a rag. As her eyes fell upon the captive creatures, her defiance vanished and pure dread set in.
"No, no, please!"
She began kicking the ground away and struggling against the guards. Harvey gave them both a nod. Both guards wore yellow-striped flak jackets. They dragged the woman to the cell containing Lucy's possum. The woman kicked and screamed, desperately begging them to let her out, promising to quit protesting, imploring them to give her another chance. But the guards did not relent. They forced her arm out and thrust it before the possum's mouth, agitating the creature until it bit her. The guards threw the woman to the floor and swiftly left the cell. She rushed after them, pounding the door desperately until her thumping turned to a defeated, open-palmed stroke as she broke down. She cradled her bitten hand to her chest and retreated backwards into the center of the room, weeping.
"You've given her a death sentence," said Lucy, appalled.
"People are dying every day, Lucy. It's our job to stop it, and for that we need brave souls like this woman here. They shall light the way for us."
"This isn't legal."
"In times like these, what is legal is synonymous with what is necessary. Our army are stretched to the breaking point, trying to battle incursions from D4 creatures of all kinds. We must do what we can to alleviate their burden. When citizens like this woman defy curfew, engage in protests, pull against the tide of our collective survival effort, they would ordinarily be punished. But we don't have the prison resources for such transgressors anymore. Instead of punishment, we can offer atonement. Their sacrifice here will make up for the time they've cost society and will sustain our efforts to defeat the creatures. As a cherry on top, we can also observe the degradation process via time-lapse cameras, which my team will be installing shortly. It's as close to a win-win as we can get, in the present circumstances," said Harvey with a humble shrug of the shoulders. Lucy knew what the degradation process did to people. The memory of the soldier she'd euthanized surfaced violently in her mind. She remembered the woman's fingers and body degrading agonizingly around her just yards from the walls of D.C. She remembered climbing into the train wreck and finding Dan's body, the way his cheek had peeled away as she'd tried to hold him one last time. She shuddered and stared at the sobbing woman. An excruciating end was in store for her. Her organs and muscles would dissolve, robbing her of speech, then movement. Ultimately, she would drown in the fluid of her own failing lungs. Lucy wanted to help the woman, to give her a way out or a bullet to end her pain swiftly. But she would achieve nothing if Harvey expelled her from the lab again.
"I understand. Like you said, Director, it's an elegant solution," she said, her voice catching on the final words.
"Your inner scientist lives on," said Harvey, clasping his hands.
"I hope so, because I have great plans, Director. Perhaps later today we could trial some powder jackets to protect today's cleanup teams. On that note, I need to check with Senator Jeffries about last night's attacks," said Lucy, hastily fabricating a reason to leave. She stepped out into the corridor, her heart racing. A faint crying sounded from the far end, the sound of an infant. A door clicked shut. She wasn't sure which. She felt Harvey draw up beside her and dared not explore further.
"What serendipitous timing. I've got a meeting with him myself. Let me deposit these samples first. I'll catch up with you in a moment," said Harvey warmly.
Lucy waved him off, then ran for the elevator. She had to get to Adrian before Harvey did. She had to tell him what was happening. Adrian's office was locked. She banged the door in frustration, then leaned against it, clutching her hair. The possum in the lab clawed at her mind. It would only be a matter of time before Harvey brought in another protester to feed it. The same went for the cat-like creature and the spider, and any other D4s he chose to capture going forwards. If Harvey was serious about scaling up powder production, the killing of prisoners would become routine. Adrian was the only person she knew who could stop him.
"You okay?"
came a reassuring voice. Karis was approaching from the opposite end of the corridor, clutching two cups of coffee.
I have to speak with the senator. Harvey's out of control. He's shattering ethical lines by the hour. He's breaking all kinds of laws. People are suffering. It's not right, said Lucy, quavering.
She tried to keep her voice down as the other workers milled about the corridor, giving her concerned looks.
It's cool. He'll be back any minute now. I've actually got a meeting with him. We might be striking a supply deal with some community further north. Apparently, they've got grain galore. The White House wants me to check the crop samples are legit before we buy anything. Somehow, that translates to me being the coffee fetcher. Sure, I'm the only person at the meeting with a PhD, but yeah, I can grab coffee. Why not? I mean, in fairness, I did offer, but still, said Karis, rambling cheerfully.
The elevator doors at the end of the corridor chimed open. Adrian stepped out, wearing his navy suit and sweeping black trench coat. Lucy's heart skipped a beat, as it always did when she saw him. She recognized all of Dan's features in that older face, but there was someone behind him. A brash, loud voice boomed out from the elevator. It sent chills down Lucy's spine.
We're good for it. Our leader's a woman of her word, crowed the noisy orator.
Maurice. Without a second's hesitation, Lucy grabbed Karis and bundled her into an empty office beside them.
What the hell?
Said Karis, nearly spilling the coffee as Lucy sealed the door. She peered through the window to Adrian's doorway across the hall.
That man, with Adrian, what's he doing here?
Said Lucy through shallow breaths.
He's the trade delegate from NYC.
Why? We can't trust him. He's a traitor.
You know him?
He knows I'm infected. He's betrayed me before, and it was brutal. You have no idea. His leader, the Queen, she's a psychopath. He already knows I'm in D.C. He saw me last night. Harvey's coming to this meeting, too, and he's expecting to see me. If my name gets mentioned, Maurice will probe. He's a snake. He always finds a way. As soon as he knows it's me, he'll tell them I'm infected. But it won't just be me they'll come after. Adrian's team will investigate everyone I've been in contact with since arriving in the city. If I'm discovered, the whole sanctuary's at risk, said Lucy breathlessly.
Hold up. What's the sanctuary?
Hundreds of people like me hiding off-grid across the city. I'm a critical weak link. Maurice will blow the lid open on all of it, and Harvey could be coming any minute. We have to get him now.
You mean kill him? No way. I won't do it.
You're a soldier.
In the same way you are.
You have to do it. If you don't, think how many people will suffer.
I'm not an assassin. I don't know how to do it. I could get killed just trying. Besides, Adrian would see. This is insane.
Lucy snatched one of the coffees and stepped back.
Put some gloves on, quickly, she insisted.
Karis obliged while Lucy took the flask of white powder from her pocket and emptied it into the cup. She took care not to spill any powder on the rim or leave any residue before handing it back to Karis.
If you can't kill him, then you have to give him this. Infecting him is the only other way to guarantee his silence. You'll be safe. I'll handle the rest, but you have to go now, said Lucy.
Adrian and Maurice's voices had arrived outside. Keys jangled as Adrian unlocked his door. Lucy pulled the door open and thrust Karis forwards. Adrian raised an eyebrow at the clumsy arrival.
Gosh, I always forget which coffee is yours, Senator, said Karis, blushing.
Maurice introduced himself, then stepped inside, while Adrian held the door open graciously, waiting for Karis to follow. As she passed by, he took a cup of coffee from her hands and toasted her. Lucy watched in horror as he raised it to his lips. She burst from her hiding place and threw herself towards Adrian, only to see him swallow as she ran. She collided with him, knocking the coffee cup from his hands, showering the office floor.
What the hell?
Said Adrian, wiping hot coffee from his lips and his coat. She looked at him in utter dismay. Panic spread through her as she scrambled to her feet.
You!
Cried Maurice, pointing a finger directly at Lucy. Lucy dived at him and tackled him to the ground. Maurice wailed, shoving her away, but Lucy wrestled him firmly and quickly clambered onto his back. With a yell, she bit down hard on his ear. Maurice shook her off with a cry and recoiled in horror. Karis and Adrian stared on in amazement as Lucy rose to her feet, panting.
Ha! she cried, pointing a triumphant finger at Maurice. Good luck betraying me a second time. You're one of us now. The color drained from Maurice's face. His smarmy features were lost for words.
One of us?
Said Adrian, looking from Lucy to Maurice and back. Lucy's sense of triumph vanished as her brain caught up with what had happened. A sense of sickness grew in the pit of her stomach as she processed Adrian's appearance properly. His likeness to Dan shone out from his confused face. A bitter saliva formed at the back of her mouth. She looked at him and at the coffee stains on his clothes and the wetness of his lips. She vomited into the wastebasket.
What the hell's going on here?
Said Maurice, clutching his ear. Lucy slumped into a chair, holding her head, murmuring to herself in denial. It wasn't supposed to go like this. She'd ruined everything, and there was no undoing it.
Can you call security?
Said Adrian to Karis. Not until she's done talking, said Karis, clicking the door shut. Lucy, you need to finish this before Harvey gets here. Karis's words landed in her brain like a distant radio broadcast commenting on events Lucy had no part in.
This is insane. I'm out of here, said Maurice, standing abruptly.
No, you're not, said Lucy distantly. And I think you know why. Maurice's face fell. If you so much as breathe a word about me to another living soul, you'll be locked up and tortured too. Then once they're done with that, they'll wear your blood like armor. So if I were you, Maurice, I'd keep your mouth shut from now on, said Lucy.
Lucy, what do you mean, one of us?
Repeated Adrian. Lucy tried to speak, but the words stuck in the back of her throat. She couldn't bring herself to look Adrian in the eye. Guilt swelled inside her uncontrollably. There had to be a way she could fix this. She couldn't live with herself otherwise.
Lucy, I think we deserve an explanation for this insane charade, pressed Adrian.
She laughed despairingly, stifling a sob as she skirted around the terrible truth. I'm an infected, she said finally. I've been infected for weeks. I came to D.C. looking for a cure, hoping the government would do something, that you would do something. But what happened? You arrested my friend. You tortured him. You experimented on him like he wasn't even human, said Lucy as the pain of the ordeal resurfaced.
Your friend? Wait, Patient Zero? You knew Major Lopez already?
A crushing sense of defeat sank across his brow as Adrian cursed himself for not seeing their connection sooner.
Why didn't you tell me?
I tried, Lucy replied earnestly. I came to this city believing you or someone would help us find a cure. But when you washed your hands of Lopez, I knew I had to keep my infection secret. I ran around doing your investigations, jumping through your hoops. When I finally proved the Major wasn't the source of the outbreak, I came to you with the evidence, and you did nothing.
And this guy?
Said Adrian. He pointed to Maurice, who had lowered himself into a seat and was checking his injured ear for bleeding. Lucy laughed again, this time bitterly. I made the mistake of saving that man. Lopez was there, too. It wasn't long before Maurice realized the Major and I had a degree of immunity from the creatures. He betrayed us and sold us into slavery. If you're thinking of trading with this guy, don't. He'll double-cross you twice before he's even finished speaking.
All this time, I was racking my brains trying to figure out your bizarre attachment to the Major. I guess you were just being empathetic, or maybe you missed Dan and were projecting that. I tried to cut you slack. I made excuses for you, fought for your reputation behind closed doors. How naive I was.
He shook his head sadly.
It's not like that. Lopez saved my life. Several times I owed him.
I thought we were family, and yet you've done nothing but abuse my trust since you got here.
He was right, and it broke her. She'd brought nothing but destruction to his life. He was better off as far away from her as he could get. But it was way too late for that. Lucy's face fell as he turned towards the door. The guilt and sickness raged inside her. She had to tell him, but shame had sapped the last of her courage.
You leave me no choice, Lucy. I'm turning you in,
said Adrian, reaching for the handle. Lucy looked at Karis imploringly, and the botanist intervened. She stepped in front of Adrian, placing her hand firmly against the door.
You don't want to do that, Senator, said Karis.
Why not?
Because you're infected, too.
Karis cleaned up the spilled coffee, then wrapped the tissues up in her gloves. She tossed them into the trash can, then ditched it in the storeroom opposite.
Adrian took a shaky seat behind his desk as she returned.
Lucy looked from him to Maurice. Her head swam. She was utterly torn, and time was against her. She longed to make right what she'd done to Dan's father, but she knew there was little that could be done. She knew the room as it was looked suspicious. If Harvey discovered that any of them were infected, it would be over. She urgently needed to regain control of the situation. She needed to know what Maurice was doing in the city. She grimaced, swallowing the bitterness of her choices, as she turned to confront the Canadian. As she did so, she felt the sum of her anger focus on him like a laser.
"You've got 2 minutes to tell me what the hell brought you slithering into D.C., she said.
The Canadian glared back.
"The Queen sent me, obviously. One of our spies reported on this new body armor you guys have been trialing. We got hold of a jacket and tested it out. It worked pretty well for a day or so. Then it stopped working, which was not so fun for the guy testing it. So the Queen sent me here to find out what the deal is and whether it's worth us trading some of our food for a bunch of them."
"Are D4 attacks becoming more of a problem in New York?" said Karis.
"I gotta hand it to those creatures. They sure love killing. Hey, so where's Lopez now? And what's her face? The grumpy one? Jackson? She's dead, asshole. You saw her die.
How about the Major?"
Lucy bit her lip.
"Holy crap. He's alive, isn't he? Well, ain't that dandy."
"He's alive?" said Adrian distantly.
"I'm glad to see Harvey lied to you, too," said Lucy angrily.
"Speak of the devil. He's coming," said Karis, peering through the window.
"Stall him," said Lucy.
Karis obliged, stepping outside and intercepting the director. Maurice stood up and fidgeted anxiously.
"You've ruined everything. I should leave. No way I'm inspecting some jacket farm now. Geez, it could be my blood in those things," said Maurice.
A tremor had crept into his voice.
"What do you mean, farm?" said Lucy, aghast. "What if they test me on the way in?" said Maurice, ignoring her.
"They'll only test you if you show symptoms or look suspicious. Presumably, you were swabbed on your way into the city, so as far as the authorities are concerned, you're still clean."
"How long before I show symptoms?"
"I don't know. Yours will be slower. Adrian's will be fast. His dose was stronger."
"I'm sorry,"
said Lucy, glancing at her father-in-law, ashamed. The senator continued to drill into his desk with a thousand-mile stare. Maurice started to panic, pacing the room and wringing his hands compulsively.
"I don't want to die," he whimpered pathetically.
"You don't have to. Most people survive the adaption. I can delay it and mask your symptoms for a while with the right drugs. But if you want them, you'll have to get me inside that factory." A plan was formulating in her foggy mind. If it was going to work, they had to act quickly. Her emotions nagged at her, distracting and exhausting her. She bargained with her guilt-riddled brain, assuring herself Adrian would be okay if she got him to the sanctuary. She tried to salvage the reason she'd come to him in the first place. Harvey's methods threatened all infected. There were God knows how many counting on her. She had to get this right.
"Why can't you go yourself?" stammered Maurice.
"I have limited clearance. Harvey only trusts me so much. To be honest, I think he only keeps me around because he's studying me as some behavioral psychology pet project. I can live with that if it gets me lab access. But I need you to get me inside that farm. I need to know the layout, the security, and the number of people inside."
"I could go and report back," said Maurice with a nervous smile.
"Sure, because the last time I trusted you, it worked out perfectly. Here's the deal. You're going to tell Harvey we've just met and that I was telling you about his pioneering and brave research. You're going to flatter his scientific ego until he thinks you're his personal cheerleader. Then, tell him you want to invite me and Karis to accompany you on the inspection. If you succeed, I'll get you the drugs you need. If you fail, we're all dead. Got it?" The door rattled. Karis intervened loudly with a desperate cry of, "One more thing, Director," as she ran thin on stalling tactics. Lucy knelt before Adrian. She took his hand in hers.
I never meant for things to turn out like this. You are my family. My only family. We can fix this, okay? I can make this right. The thing I want more than anything is a cure.
I promise you.
We'll find one together.
Adrian pulled his hand away.
You can do what you want. I'm turning myself in, he said distantly.
No, you mustn't. Please, Adrian, I need you. Other people need you, said Lucy, fully remembering the reason she'd come to him in the first place. Harvey's feeding political prisoners to D4 creatures. You have to stop him.
I already tried, snapped Adrian, slamming his palm against the table.
You mean you know what he's doing?
The White House has given him free rein. You've seen the protests. The government's lost the support of the people. The only way they can keep the army on their side is with Harvey's new invention. They're turning a blind eye to his methods because it gets them what they want.
But you're a part of the government. Surely you can do something to change their minds.
I want to avoid a civil war, Lucy. If the people rise up, there'll be bloodshed and fighting that could last for weeks. The creatures would pick us apart with ease. Any razor-thin chance we have of reversing massive societal regression will vanish for centuries. Or at least that's what I've been telling myself. But maybe it's too late. Perhaps our extinction has become inevitable.
Adrian, don't give up. I know everything's a mess, but I promise it can get better. You have to tell the opposition what's happening. Get it to the press, whatever controls the billboards. The people have to know. It has to come from you, someone both sides trust.
If I blow the whistle, it could spark mass violence.
Then negotiate with Rhea. She's the opposition leader. She'll listen to you. The truth has to get out. Public scrutiny is the only thing that can stop someone like Harvey. Infecteds and protesters are both in mortal danger from his methods. If people knew the truth, they could force the government to back down. You have to make them understand the city's only hope for survival lies with the infecteds. But they can't help if they're being secretly incarcerated. You must tell the people.
Adrian stood up and buttoned up his blazer. He examined his hand, turning it over, looking for changes. It trembled.
I will expose the political prisoners' deaths, and I will tell them about the bloodletting. Then I will admit myself to the hospital for processing. I will not allow other people to fall ill because of me.
The office door clicked open, and Harvey stepped in brightly. Karis peered over his shoulder anxiously.
Ah, here we are.
Maurice, is it? Nice to meet you. I'd shake your hand, but we have a no-touching rule across the city while this outbreak continues.
Maurice transformed into his most slippery and charming self, slicking his hair back and fixing Harvey with a ravishing smile.
Director, it's an honor to finally meet you. I've heard so much about your work.